You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LORockets, and you can get a $20 rebate today off of your first purchase from SeatGeek. So as we chat on this Thursday, we're sort of in a holding period when it comes to the Rockets. We're just over 24 hours removed from the shocking Chris Paul trade becoming official. That, of course, gives the Rockets another top 10 level piece to pair with James Harden, arguably the league's best backcourt as well. And the flip side is that we're just over 24 hours away from the start of free agency, which launches at 11 p.m. Houston time on Friday evening. And we know the Rockets will continue to be aggressive by virtue of trading for Chris Paul rather than having to sign him in free agency. The Rockets can stay as an above-the-cap team. That gives them their full exception, such as the $8.5 million mid-level. That's substantially more than the roughly $4 million mid-level they would have had if they'd had to go under the cap to sign Chris Paul. And of course, besides guys they could be looking at for the mid-level exception, as well as the biannual, which I think will be about $3.5 million, then in addition to that, you have the fact that they're still active on the trade and buyout markets. We know they're in the mix for Indiana's Paul George. We've heard that they could be interested in New York's Carmelo Anthony, either by trade or preferably by buyout. But the bottom line is, when you have Chris Paul and James Harden, your window is now. Both of those guys, they're in the prime of their careers, and they're also very lucrative players to recruit with because other players will want to play with them. So I think it's pretty clear that the Rockets, while they've got a pretty great foundation with Chris Paul and James Harden, they're not done. They're looking for more big pieces in the days ahead. Now, how imminent is it? I don't know, because obviously, especially with the bigger names like Paul George and Carmelo, it's not really in the Rockets' control because, well, they're under contract with other teams, so they'll get moved when their GMs are ready to move. And especially in the case of Paul George, it might take a while because we've heard rumors that the Pacers prefer the package from Boston, and Boston, if they want to give a big package, they're probably more likely to give it if they get a yes from Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, one of the big names in free agency. So that may stall that for a few days. Don't know. As far as Carmelo, I think it's pretty clear that everyone would prefer a buyout. That would be the easiest route for him to get to Houston or anywhere else, but the Knicks would rather get a trade, so there's a little bit of a standoff there. So while in theory, movement could come at any time, I think that's why we have a little bit of a lull. And the Rockets, they're not under that much pressure to move quickly because I think they know that the longer it goes, a few other options are going to dry up. And I think they know that they're a very attractive team already with the pieces that are here in Houston. So that's why, in my opinion, there's a lot of optimism when it comes from the Rockets, even if they have to be patient, that eventually they will be able to add that second, that third All-Star piece. I'm so used to saying second, not used to having Chris Paul here. Well, now we're looking to get a third All-Star piece. So, yeah, it's amazing how far the Rockets have come in the last 24 hours. And, of course, you guys have heard a lot from me already, my thoughts on the Chris Paul addition, as well as where they might go next. If you haven't, you can check out my podcast from last night. But rather than just have me tell you the same things every day, I also want to bring in some other valued voices in the Rockets community. So for today's episode, it's going to be a roundtable edition in which we get a few different perspectives on what the Chris Paul trade means, what they might do next, and also a little bit of the X's and O's of just how Chris Paul can integrate into this offense built by Mike D'Antoni and around James Harden. So to do that, I'm going to be joined momentarily by Ali Bajani. You know him on Twitter as Rockets Insider, and also Grayson Squares. You know him on Twitter as G_Squares, and he works with 1560 The Game here in Houston. So I'm getting both Ali and Grayson connected right now. But while we do that, I do want to pause and acknowledge our wonderful sponsors over at SeatGeek, because without them, we wouldn't be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do. For instance, yesterday, we had a whopping 3 episodes in one day. But SeatGeek is going to be an especially big resource for Rockets fans moving forward, because when you have Chris Paul and James Harden, and well, there may be a third All-Star joining them very soon, tickets are going to be at a premium. You may not be able to buy them from the box office at all if they sell out, and well, if they don't, the odds are they're probably going to raise the prices to where it's very uneconomical. So I think more than ever, when you have the kind of team that the Rockets are going to have this year, secondary market sources are going to become increasingly important, where you can buy directly from the season ticket holders at lower rates. And among those sites, to me, SeatGeek is by far the best. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that just makes it so easy to buy tickets. I use it all the time, and it's just so fan-friendly because they cross-compare all the websites so you know you're getting the best deal. They also grade every ticket from 1 to 100, so in addition to getting the best price, you know where the best value deals are so that you are getting the best bang for your buck no matter what. I use SeatGeek a lot. They've helped me a lot during this baseball season with the Astros, and now with the Rockets being one of the super teams, it feels good to say that, with James Harden, Chris Paul, and hopefully more, that I think you guys can use SeatGeek a lot in the months ahead. And the best part of it is, my listeners here at Lockdown Rockets, you guys all get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. And to get it, it's so easy. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, then enter the promo code LO Rockets. From there, SeatGeek will send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase. So remember, download that SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Rockets today. So with that said, I think Ali and Grayson are ready to go. So let's bring them on for this special Rockets roundtable episode of Locked On Rockets to talk everything Chris Paul, as well as what Daryl Morey and the Rockets may do from here. All right, now we've got them both on. First up would be Ali Bajani. You know him as Rockets underscore insider on Twitter. Does a great job film study, diving into the X's and O's of the Rockets. And, well, with Chris Paul, I think it might be more fun than ever. But first things first, Ali, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Doing well. I think everybody in the Rockets community is doing well these days. And another friend we've got on the call with us is Grayson Squares. As I said leading in, you can follow him on Twitter at @G_Squares. But you know him, well, from a couple of years ago. I used to do the Red and Orange Report with him, and now he's working with 1560 The Game here in Houston. Grayson, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Sure thing. Trying to get as many voices as we can, and I know we all want to talk looking forward, but that's certainly speculative because it doesn't seem like anything's truly imminent with regards to the Rockets. So before we look forward, I want to look back. And Ali, I'll start with you. The Chris Paul trade, you're an X's and O's guy, and one of the criticisms since this interest first became known a couple of weeks ago is, how are you going to fit two point guards? And I know you're fairly bullish on the idea, so just explain why you think this can work, why adding another primary ball handler on top of James Harden is something that can be successful here.
So, like you said, Ben, everybody's talking about you have two dominant ball handlers. In actuality, when you look at the stats, James Harden and Chris Paul were two top 10 players when it comes to touches per game. I think Paul finished eighth and Harden was second. So right off the bat, right there, you have to follow. Both guys demand the ball. Both guys are better with the ball in their hands. However, if you look at those, the way those teams were constructed, they were constructed around their star players. Now, when you add a second star, which Daryl Morey has openly said, that's the goal. Once you get the stars, then you can figure out what to do. Once you add a star, it makes it much easier for you to figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are. A lot of people are saying, oh, you know, it's not going to fit. But when you look at it, James Harden shot 40% on catch and shoot threes this year, around 40%. Chris Paul shot 41%. 45% the last two seasons. So when you look at it, these two players can shoot off the ball. Harden was 91% according to Synergy stats on spot up shots this season. And the way both these guys like to play, they like to do dribble handoff. They like to initiate kick out. And whenever you combine two primary ball handlers like that, you're going to create spot-up opportunities for both, because when one attacks inside, that penetration, that ability to create for their shooters or stuff like that, going to create so many open shots. And then when it comes to Chris Paul's mid-range game, that does not fit with Morey Ball, according to others. I'd argue that having his mid-range game gives a lot of versatility to the Rockets' offense. Ben, you'll agree with me. We talked about this in the playoffs. The Spurs really honed in on James Harden. They trapped him, they blitzed him, and they forced him to give the ball up. And when that happens, you're trying to bank on your secondary ball handlers and Eric Gordon, Lou Williams to score. Now, a secondary ball handler isn't the same thing as your primary guy. Having two primary guys, two guys who can create for themselves and also create for others gives the Rockets so much more flexibility on offense, so much more versatility. Now, defenses can't concentrate on James Harden. If they do that, they have basically the best point guard in the NBA and Chris Paul to worry about as well. So I just think this has so many positives. Of course, you're going to have some ripple effects. There's going to be some clash of ideas here. I think they're going to struggle a little bit when it comes to chemistry early on. But when you have two star players, they're going to figure it out. LeBron and Dwayne Wade figured it out. Kevin Durant fit seamlessly with that team last season in Golden State. So I think you have two players who are going to figure it out. And I think the biggest positive of all, nobody's really talking about, Harden plays 37, 38, 40 minutes a game, regular season and postseason. Now having Chris Paul in the mix, who's averaging around 32, 33, you have two guys. One will be on the floor at all times running the offense. And this allows Harden to have a little bit more rest, and it's probably going to extend his career if you think about it.
Grayson, one thing we've heard today that I'd love to hear your take on as a guy that's played sports at a fairly high level, this idea that it's not just something that came together in the last couple of weeks. According to Broderick Turner, Clippers beat writer for the LA Times, there are people around the league who say that James Harden has been recruiting Chris Paul for months, basically during the season, and the relationship between the two of them is incredibly tight. So some of it's not just X's and O's. Some of it, of course, is attitude, and everything that we've heard so far seems to be pretty positive on the front of both of these guys going in with the right mentality to buy in. But as an athlete, when you hear these guys essentially say that they are committed the way they are, how much does that help the integration process?
It helps a ton. I mean, that proves that they trust each other, and if you trust each other off the floor, it's a whole lot easier to trust each other on the floor, and that's where the X's and O's come in and making things work. You know, people always talk about how Chris Paul is incredibly difficult to play with, and how, you know, Blake Griffin didn't get to do things that he wanted to do because Chris Paul said, no, we're going to do things my way. Obviously, Chris Paul trusts James Harden a whole lot more than he trusts Blake Griffin. And what Allie touched on at the very end is what has me the most excited about getting Chris Paul, is at least one of these two guys is going to be on the floor at all times. And that's just going to be, you're going to have a top three point guard in the NBA playing 48 minutes a game regardless. And so whenever they're both on the floor together, I think they'll still work because they obviously have that chemistry and they obviously, you know, love each other, you know, as people, not just as players.
How much do y'all buy the idea that predictability was a real problem against San Antonio? Because that's one thing that I keep going back to. I know a lot of folks say, well, Harden had these ridiculous numbers at the point guard, but I've talked to a bunch of people on this show, and the more I look back, the more I buy into that it wasn't just a matter of James executed poorly or anyone didn't get it done, someone didn't show up, but it's more a matter of by the end of that series, especially late in Game 5, the Spurs defensively knew everything that they were going to do, and the offense was just too damn predictable, for lack of putting it another way. So I liked what Ali said earlier about the ability to initiate the offense in different ways. He referenced the mid-range game for Chris Paul. I don't think it necessarily has to be the mid-range game, although that would help. But I just think, in general, having a second point guard is one way to reduce the predictability of this offense. As good as it is, I did feel like at times in the playoffs, certainly against San Antonio and possibly some of those late-game struggles against Oklahoma City as well, the predictability was an issue. So I'm curious what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they got kind of predictable. Not so much that predictable is bad, but whenever you don't have the talent outside of James, that's when predictable becomes bad. You know, we could sit there and watch James Harden. He could tell you what he's going to do, but he's so good, he'll still be successful anyways. And when you add another guy like Chris Paul, like, you might know what's coming, but when you have two elite players like this, things will work. And I know I'm not the X's and O's guy, but I can sit here and I can just imagine, you know, pick the roster as it is now. You have a Harden Capella pick and roll up at the top. If no one helps off on Harden, he has a filthy Euro step. That's a bucket. If the center helps off, you have a Lob to Capella. That's a bucket. If anyone else helps off, you have Ryan Anderson, Chris Paul, and why am I drawing a blank? And Trevor Ariza outside, yep. And those are all knockdown shooters. And if somehow it's perfectly defended, you swing it out to Chris Paul, you do the pick and roll all over again. And you have two just elite creators on the floor, and it doesn't matter if it's predictable. Those guys are great, and they'll make it be successful anyways.
Ollie, let me spin it to you.
I,
diversifying the offense with initiating it a different way, how much does that mean relative to some of the defensive issues that the Spurs posed to the Rockets in that series?
It's very important that the Rockets have a more versatile offense. I mean, I'm basically beating a dead horse here, and I'm repeating a lot of what a lot of people are saying, but it is very important. It's common sense. When you're going to run the pick and roll high on top, if you basically trap Harden, you're forcing Clint Capella, you're forcing him to pass out to the perimeter, have Eric Gordon create, that gets predictable. Now, whenever you have a guy like Chris Paul there, if you run a dribble handoff with James Harden and Clint Capella, then you can, if that's not working or nothing's there, you can pass it back out, and this time it's not Eric Gordon, this time it's not Lou Williams, this time it's not Patrick Beverley. Now you have Chris Paul who can run a pick and pop or pick and roll with Ryan Anderson, and you open up a lot more options. I think one thing about these players, both are great on catch and shoot opportunities, both are great on attacking hard closeouts, and both are great at creating off pick and roll situations. So whenever you have all these skill sets on the same team, it's going to work out. And you know, there's so many nuances and so many variations the Rockets can run. A lot of the Utah Jazz offense, a lot of the Hornets offense in Charlotte. There are a lot of things that, you know, if you look at what dual guard sets that are in the NBA, there's no reason that the Rockets with Chris Paul and Harden can't be successful.
So let's spin it forward. We've looked at the X's and O's of how this could fit and why it should work. I mean, you have two top 10 players in the league, as Maurice said, arguably the two best playmakers in the game. So that should be good in and of itself. But when it comes to building a roster around them, right now the Rockets have basically six rotation players they can trust, seven if we include Nene, who I think is probably a safe bet to return. But I think it's pretty clear, you know, you have those two facilitators, Chris Paul and James, at the guard spots. And, of course, you feel good about your rotation of Clint Capella and Nene inside. And I guess you also have Shinanu Anuaku, who might take a step forward in his second year. But aside from that, you have the two forward spots. Right now, I think you pencil in Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson as your starters, and then Eric Gordon off the bench. So before we get into the sexy names, the potential stars, all that kind of stuff, just abstractly, where do you guys see the need? Is it just more shooting in general? Because we always know you have passers like that and guys that draw double teams, you always need more shooters. I would also argue that maybe you need more defense, because right now, really, Ariza is the only guy who can kind of be versatile defensively. Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, we know what their limitations are. James Harden, he can do it in spurts, but I don't think you want to rely on James to be a defensive stopper with any kind of regularity. So is 3 and D the primary need? Is it other than going after a star? Or what are the types of players that you think would fit around them as we go into free agency? Obviously, with the $8.5 million mid-level exception, the just below $4 million biannual, and then, of course, any trade potential that's out there?
I personally would look at adding more depth down low. I think finding a way to bring Nene back should be a priority for this team. We saw whenever he went away in the playoffs how the team suffered, and that wasn't a coincidence. Throwing out specific names, you know, I'm not sure if these are exact players I'll target, but there will definitely be guys in these range. I like a guy like Taj Gibson with that mid-level exception. He's a guy who will come in, he'll rebound, and he'll be a physical guy down low that provides depth.
Ollie, your thoughts?
You know, I there's a lot of players I like out there right now. One to keep in mind, I think, is James Johnson. Is that his name? James Johnson?
Yep.
From Miami, right?
Yep.
That guy is a terrific basketball player, and I think he would be a great playmaker at that 3-4 position as an athletic power forward. He is a great passer, and I think in D'Antoni's offense, the more passing you have, the better. And I think the Rockets' offense will be even more dominant if they can continue to run stuff from the high post, which they were starting to late last season, and we saw some success. I think another name out there, like you mentioned, 3-D, I think P.J. Tucker is also a free agent this year. So you have all those options out there. I think you're right. I think a 3-and-D is needed. I think you want a capable backup point guard. Now, we have Isaiah Taylor. He is coming off his D-League rookie season. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, if he's going to need an extra year down there or if he's ready yet. I think Onuwaku, personally, I think he's ready. Talking to people in RGB, he's continued to develop. He's when we saw him play with the Rockets, he's a great screener, great rebounder. He's a very big guy. Like, I mean, his size is incredible. Great wingspan. His frame is great. So I think that he's somebody that the Rockets fans should be really excited about making that next step. Next season, I think he can play more of that Montrezl Harrell role where you have Capella starting, you have Nene in the backup. And if you need to, you have Onyeka can come in and get rebounds and can screen well. So I think that if you keep looking at perimeter guys who can guard against those perimeter players in Golden State or in San Antonio, I think that's your biggest need, and there are plenty of those guys out there in free agency.
Guys, one thing I want to throw out there before we spin it towards the sexier options, we'll say. So many of the names that y'all threw out, Grace, I remember you mentioning Taj Gibson and why am I blanking on the other? But Ollie with P.J. Tucker. A couple of those really intrigue me because those are names that have been connected to the Rockets in the past. They haven't closed the deal with, but those connections matter. And this is a little rant I've been wanting to get on for a while, but it's always bothered me through the years when a certain segment of Rockets fans, I'm sure it's true with any fan base, but tend to look at trades or free agent signings as like a zero-sum game. Either you get them or you don't. And we are seeing so many additions over the last couple of years. Chris Paul being one, because the Rockets almost got him in 2013. But then Nene, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, guys the Rockets have gone after in the past, and then it just didn't work out at the time. And I don't know what it is. You just have this segment of NBA fans that are just so terrified of being told no that they just act like, you know, the entire thing was a waste of time if they don't get the player. And it's a connections league, and I think we're seeing time and time again that these guys that Daryl Morey, and of course we all know that Morey in the pre-draft process, he meets with as many players as any team in the league. They put a big emphasis on those relationships because, yeah, you can go back to them years down the line. And so a couple of those names that were mentioned, Taj by Grayson, Ollie mentioning P.J. Tucker, those are guys, they haven't been here before, but the Rockets have had interest in the past. We know that that was one of the rumors at the trade deadline before the Bulls moved Taj Gibson to the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was one of the proposals that they made for Pat Beverly at the time. So it's even though those deals didn't get done then, those relationships are interesting. And I'm going to transition from that to the bigger names because, of course, we know those are the small names. And, you know, even if you just get the small names and you combine that with Chris Paul and James Harden, you're looking at a potential 60-plus win team. That's just how good those guys are. But we all know you want to take down the Golden State Warriors. And to actually get to the Warriors level, you probably need at least three All-Stars. And one of the guys that's in that mix, we heard from Tim McMahon of ESPN yesterday from the Rockets, was that they think they're getting Carmelo or Paul George. And one of those two, Carmelo Anthony, we know they went after him in 2014, after him fairly hard. They didn't close the deal, but now apparently for whatever reason, he's open to leaving New York and coming somewhere via buyout, trade, whatever it may be. And of course, there's a relationship with Chris Paul, which helps with that. I think Chris Paul, as president of the Players Union, opens up so many opportunities for the Rockets in recruitment, besides just the obvious that, you know, you have two top 10 level players. But I'll start with Carmelo in particular. Do you guys see that as a fit? And if you do, would it just be by buyout, or would you be open to, you know, moving Ryan Anderson and looking at him as a trade candidate as well?
Ben, I think we should start off by looking at the possibilities with Melo. Either you do get a buyout, which is not likely at this point, especially since Phil Jackson left, and a lot of people I've talked to said they have no idea who they're going to be, who they're supposed to communicate with when it comes to the Knicks right now. By trade, it'll be essentially would have been Ryan Anderson in a filler contract for Carmelo. So let's get that out of the way. Now, when you look at the fit wise, you know, I honestly think that his role would strictly be as your stretch four. Defensively, I think he can guard Kevin Durant at times. He has length. I mean, he is Carmelo Anthony. When he plays in a system that utilizes his strength, he can be very effective. I think that even though, Ben, as it was discussed yesterday, that the Rockets will be open to anything with George because they'll take the risk and re-sign him, or when it comes to Melo, you know, rekindling that relationship with Mike D'Antoni, that's my biggest question mark. If he comes here, he's playing with two other stars. He's going to have opportunity to shoot. He is also another ball dominant player. Is his mindset there where he's going to be able to work with these guys, sacrifice his, you know, touches, sacrifice his minutes, and be able to play alongside two other guys who are looking to score and trade for others. So I think that's the biggest question. I think there's no question when you have a star player like Carmelo Anthony, he can fit. He's a great spot of shooter. He's a great catch shoot player. He can go down low and create on the low block. And like I said before, Rockets looking for high post passers, he's definitely one of those guys as well. So I think the fit will definitely be there, despite what many others may say. But it's a question about will he buy in this time around to Coach D'Antoni. We know Coach D'Antoni said when he came in that he's learned a lot since his days in Los Angeles and New York. He's learned, he's in a lot of self-reflection. And if the Rockets do go after him, will that fit work?
Just from a leadership standpoint, go ahead.
I was just going to say I pretty much agree with everything Ali said. You know, just as a basketball fit, Carmelo's a great basketball player. I'm sure he can find a way to make it work, but I'm not sure what's going on in that head, and I don't know if he's going to be okay with going from being the guy that was the man in New York City to being number three in Houston.
That's a fair point. My counter would be he's fit in really well on those Team USAs. Now, those are small sample sizes, but they have involved Chris Paul, and I think the thing with Team USA, there's leadership he respects. That's what, to me, gives me hope about Carmelo buying in, is that when he's been around established leadership, he has shown a willingness to actually fitting in well to be a second or third option. That's why I'm not going to lie. If I had to choose between Carmelo and Paul George, I mean, of course I would choose Paul George because of the upside, but I actually think the fit with Carmelo is a little easier. I have no qualms with sliding Carmelo in if and when a deal is able to be struck, be it a trade or buyout, and him being willing to fit in the hierarchy in Houston, especially with Chris Paul, his friend, sort of running the show. Whereas with Paul George, it does get interesting. You're looking at a guy in the prime of his career who's used to being nothing but the number one and then entering basically a contract year alongside two guys in Chris Paul and James Harden, who of course are very ball dominant, in James's case one of the best scorers in the league. So to me, of course you go after Paul George because the upside is just so great that it'd be silly not to, but I worry a little bit about the fit of that big three. Ollie, am I wrong in that, or where do you weigh in on the Paul George? And for now, we're not going to look at the feasibility of a trade, which I know is challenging with the Rockets giving up some of their young assets yesterday. Just Paul George without looking at the difficulty of the trade. We'll talk about that in a moment.
I think Paul George would fit in well anywhere he goes. I think when you have a guy like that, like you said, in his prime of his career, in my opinion, he's probably the most versatile player besides LeBron James in these comps. You have a two-way player like that who's a top 10 player, great shooter. He's developed his shooting game so well. He can create for others. Great defender, great player. I mean, all these things the Rockets would love to have against the Golden State team. You know, and let's say you add him to this team. You put him against Golden State. Who is he going to guard? Kevin Durant. You have those guys not cancel to the route, but going against it, that allows Chris Paul and James Harden to also create. I mean, I just think that If they want to beat Golden State, I think Melo gives them a great chance. But I think Paul George gives them an even better chance just because of the type of player he is, the versatility, the flexibility he brings to the lineups the Rockets can put out there. I mean, he just fits in well so well. And I think one of the biggest things, no matter who they get, Coach D'Antoni, last season proved to me, I mean, he's proved this in his entire career, but last season he proved to me, no matter what kind of players on the roster you give him, he'll find a way to utilize their strengths on offense, and you could put them in the best possible position. I mean, we saw players like Eric Gordon who haven't created, you know, that many scoring opportunities or been able to attack holders like that in a few years, play out of their mind. And you know, Eric Gordon won Sixth Man of the Year. So I mean, he's given me the confidence that no matter who the Rockets give him on the roster, they'll be able to put them in position to be successful and utilize their strength.
How much of what we're hearing now on the trade market, and I'm turning from just an X's and O's discussion to more just big picture rumor breakdowns, that kind of stuff, how much of what we're hearing is posturing? Because to me, there seems an awful lot of essentially positioning going on, because we're still over 24 hours from free agency. I guess no one really has to get serious until this weekend. But what we've heard today from Indiana, they're asking, their alleged asking price, according to the Boston beat writer, was for both the Brooklyn and the LA picks next year from the Celtics and a starter, which if that's the price, it's hard to imagine Houston, the Eric Gordon-led package, and you know one or two very distant future first, even getting in the game. But of course, that seems unrealistic. Even if Boston gets Gordon Hayward and is willing to pay, I don't see them being willing to pay that much. So to me, that almost seems like posturing on Indiana's standpoint. And then the flip side is here in Houston, we've had so much made today about Daryl Morey. He's kind of downplayed the idea that there's another star trade lined up. But at the same time, we know that the Rockets did this Chris Paul trade prior to free agency, giving up those assets for a reason. So to me, both situations reek of a GM that's essentially trying to play the expectations game. And if it's Indiana, it's, of course, trying to get the best deal that you can because they don't feel like they're going to do it before free agency, so you might as well ask for the moon until it's time to get serious. And if you're the Rockets, I guess if Carmelo's the easier fit, which it might be based on Indiana's asking price for Paul George, if Carmelo's the easier fit and the Knicks are reluctant to buy him out, then it seems like from the Rockets, the smart play is probably to make it seem like you're okay with the status quo. Because if you make it seem like you're okay with the status quo, then it's easier for the Knicks to feel like you're not going to back down and eventually offer something via trade. So that's my read on it, is that you know both of these guys are still likely to move in the next week or so, but there's just a lot of posturing on all sides right now. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Grayson.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm sure there's tons of posturing going on right now. And like you said, with Carmelo and you know, letting the Knicks know that the Rockets are okay with standing pat, which I don't think they are. He said he wants to beat the Warriors. He said they're going to up their risk profile. This is simply just move number one, getting Chris Paul. But as a franchise that has failed going after these big names, it kind of has a stigma of failing often, even though they've gone and now gotten two great players in the past couple of years, in Dwight Howard and Chris Paul. It makes the Rockets look better, both to the fans and maybe to, you know, the NBA, if they're, you know, like, all right, we're done, we're out of the race now.
Yeah, Ollie,
you know, one thing I just want to share is that one thing I've learned over the years, you know, since I started covering the team, is that free agency and this trade stuff, it's a game, it's a business. And if you have to think about it like a business. When one team leaks something out, it's based off of their narrative, their ability to posture, like you said, and get the best possible deal for them. There's no question that Indiana has been leaking a lot of these trades or these packages to other teams to let them know, hey, we're not joking. We're getting offered this, but we want more if you really want Paul George from us. And even with the Rockets and Chris Paul, you can, you know, at first I really thought Chris Paul was making these suggestions that, hey, I want a 5-year deal with a no trade clause. And at the end of the day, he won out by coming to Houston because he wanted to win. But, you know, players do it all the time. Players know that when it comes to free agency, the media controlling that narrative is their best friend in terms of getting the best possible deal. Agents do it. GMs do it. All these guys do it. So it's very important. If you're listening right now and you're a fan, think about all these rumors through a business-minded perspective. That a lot of these things are ways to get those writers are putting out there. A lot of these things are ways for those agents, those players, to get the best possible deal for them.
Another angle I want to look at this from, I think we can all agree that on paper, Boston can definitely beat Houston's package. Now, of course, it remains to be seen whether Boston's willing to go all in. Danny Ainge is notorious for hoarding a little bit. And if they don't get Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin, he may say that their championship window isn't open yet, so it may not be worth them giving that much. But even aside from that, there's a trend, and Ollie, you might be good to comment on this because I know you've been following the league very closely the last couple of years from an agent perspective, but there's sort of this trend, I would say, of incorporating the player's desire in trades, and even when it's not necessarily a direct leverage. And a good example of that is the Lou Williams trade to Houston when Magic Johnson, he had just taken the job in LA, and he had several offers on his proverbial desk of what would be a late first-round pick from pretty good teams for Lou. But he essentially let Lou choose his destination. He thought he'd be a good fit in the D'Antoni system. And essentially, he gave Lou and his agent the right to choose in hopes, kind of a I'll-scratch-your-back-you-scratch-mine situation, that relationship would pay off down the line. And where I'm going with that is with Paul George, I agree it's hard to see a scenario where the Rockets are far and away the best offer with Eric Gordon and whatever limited assets are left. But what makes me think that the Rockets always have a chance, now that you have both Chris Paul and James Harden, if they can get into Paul George's ear to the point where he and his representation make it clear that, you know, of these choices, I would be happiest in Houston, even if he doesn't commit long term, even if it's just a matter of saying, hey, Houston, Boston, or anyone else in the picture, Houston's where I'd be happiest. To me, that can exert a little bit of behind-the-scenes pressure to where maybe that gets the Indiana GM, when the chips are down, to consider Houston's offer a little bit more, because, of course, it's a players' league. The players hold the cards, and as we saw, the Lou Williams is a smaller scale example, but if the offers are close, then many times the player does get to go where he wants to go based on the idea of staying in the good graces of the player, but more importantly, his agent. So, Ollie, your thoughts on that? Does that at least keep the Rockets in the proverbial ball game when it comes to Paul George?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I mean, there's nothing you basically said everything. But one thing I'll add is that the trade that happened yesterday with Chris Paul, one may think it's tampering, but when it comes to players, players are talking all the time. There's so many group chats out there. There's so many individual text messages, so many conversations going on that these conversations come up. Hey, I'm going to team up with you. Hey, you know, I'm not really, you know, I don't think we have the team here to win. I'm thinking about going somewhere else. Tell me your pitch. These conversations actually occur. And yesterday, as many have noted, James Harden was essentially the reason why Chris Paul came here, along with guys like Bobby Brown and Trevor Ariza. I mean, talking to a Rockets player yesterday, this team is very excited. These guys are close friends with Chris Paul. They have great respect for them. They've played with him before, some of these guys. So I think that at the end of the day, as much as the GMs make these choices, the players are so important in recruiting, especially in this time before free agency and during the trade deadline. Hey, you know, why don't you let them know, hey, I prefer to come to Houston, or why don't you let your agent know, hey, I prefer to come playing here. And it's a bit, like I said earlier, it's a business. And you, like you said, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. These come into play, and I think the players are the biggest catalyst behind all of this.
Last question, and Grayson, I'll let you start, and then Ollie, you can jump in after, but I think the theme all the way from Chris Paul all the way through to the acquisitions they might make in free agency, including Carmelo and Paul George at the upper end of the scale, are those relationships, and of course specifically with James Harden. So I've always thought the idea that stars didn't want to play with James was far overdone, people just reaching for a reason to complain because they didn't get whoever, LaMarcus Aldridge in 2015, Kevin Durant, Al Horford in 2016. But of course the reality, players can only say yes to one team, and these top of the line guys, they're wanted by the entire league, so the odds are against you. But I think it's pretty clear now, twice in 4 years, we have had true superstar level players, Dwight Howard in 2013 and Chris Paul in 2017, the latter being directly recruited by James for months, it appears. So can we officially bury the narrative that players don't want to play with James Harden? At this point, it seems like James Harden feels like a pretty big draw for players around the NBA. So whoever started that narrative of, well, can you build around James Harden and play him with other stars? To me, this kind of puts the nail in the coffin of that. When you see Chris Paul's willingness, a guy who's the president of the players union, can pretty much go wherever he wants, connections all over the place, and even he is drawn to James Harden, two guys that literally played the same position last year. So to me, it's pretty clear that James Harden is a big selling point. Curious y'all's thoughts on that before we wrap up.
Yes, we can absolutely put that to rest. I could rant on how people treat James Harden for a long time. I'm not going to do that, but you know, James Harden is a fantastic player. People want to come to Houston because of James Harden. The Rockets are winning because of James Harden. The Rockets are relevant because of James Harden. And Houston and Rockets fans should appreciate the greatness that he's bringing to the table.
Ollie, your take?
I think you hit the nail. You both of you guys hit the nail right on the head. I mean, James Harden is the reason why all this is happening. James Harden is the reason why Coach D'Antoni came. I think you can also discount Coach D'Antoni players around the league understand the respect level that each and every player on this roster has for Coach D'Antoni. Ben, whenever we were in the locker room and there was a question about Coach D'Antoni, what was the one thing they said? They always trusted him. They always felt like he was personable, they could talk to him, and that he was a great mentor for these guys, and they always had great conversations. I think the lure of James Harden is there, but I also think the lure of having Coach D'Antoni, who is a coach who makes you a better player and showcases you by utilizing your strength, I think that's also a very big thing. And I think when you combine those two together, I think Chris Paul has a great chance of succeeding, and no matter who they bring in, those two guys, along with Chris Paul, are going to make this Houston team a formidable destination for the next few years to come.
Yep, and to that end, one of the things that I'm just now seeing across Twitter where Mike D'Antoni is actually going to have dinner with Chris Paul tonight. So I think that speaks to the level of connection that he has, and hopefully it goes better than the guy he had dinner with right before free agency last year. Ollie, remember when you broke the story that he was having dinner with Donatas Moniunas?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hey, I was. Yeah, that was very interesting, and all that fallout. I hope that does not happen this time around. But
yeah, I think this dinner is going to go a little better, especially because Chris Paul, A, he's already under contract with the Rockets, and B, I'm pretty sure he's aware of what his rights are. I don't think he has B.J. Armstrong trying to lure him in any number of experimental directions. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for the time. Before we close out...
Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, toss out your Twitter handles, anything y'all are working on, where people can find you. Grayson, I'll start with you. Twitter handle, where you're working now, basically where people can get a hold of you if they want to find more.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @G_squares. Squares is spelled S-K-W-E-R-E-S. I do mostly baseball stuff, so I'm posting for Astros Future. I should have some stuff coming for them soon. You know, being in college and having work and baseball is slowing down my production, but I'll put out as much as I possibly can, and thanks for having me on today, Ben.
Sounds good, buddy. Ollie, where can everybody find you?
You can find me covering the Houston Rockets for ESPN 97.5 here in Houston, and covering the NBA for Fans Out in the Step Back. I'm actually working on a film study piece that Rockets fans can expect hopefully tomorrow or Saturday, detailing the fit and looking at some sets the Rockets could probably be running with Chris Paul and James Harden.
Sounds good. Well, folks, thank y'all so much for the time. As for me, of course, I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, and also email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download the SeatGeek mobile app and use the promo code LORockets, and you can get a $20 rebate today off of your first SeatGeek purchase. Ollie, Grayson, thank you all so much for the time. As always, thanks to our listeners for listening. And remember, we're not very far away from free agency, 11 p.m. Friday night, Houston time. Things will get crazy. I know it's quiet now, but as we said during the chat, a lot of posturing going on around the league. Once the league calendar officially turned to July 1st, I would expect Daryl Morey to be aggressive just as he is every year, and just stay tuned with me on Twitter, Ali and Grayson on Twitter as well, and of course, Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage, and we'll have you covered. So for now, hope everybody gets some rest, and look forward to talking with you guys tomorrow on the official launch of free agency.